الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وما أبرئ نفسي إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي إن ربي غفور رحيم. صدق الله المولان العظيم. I asked Maulana to carry on a little while, and alhamdulillah, what I wanted to say, he said it in a much more better way. So Allah Ta'ala reward Maulana also, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, we all have come here, and everyone, I think, has come to benefit. And we are sincere in that intention. I don't think anyone has got a negative intention. All came with the right intention, and Allah deals with everyone according to his intention. And inshallah, our coming will bear fruit. And it is not really that we have come. Ye qadam uthte nahi, uthaye jaate hain. It's not that we left our legs and we come. Allah brings us. Main aaya nahi, laaya gaya ho. I haven't come, I've been brought. A few friends, young brothers, we spoke, and just they say it came in our heart, and we got ready, and we came. So this is all when Allah Ta'ala wants to show His kindness to a person, Allah brings that person. So we all should make lot of shukr to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala that we have come, and may Allah Ta'ala make it, we take the full benefit, and we go with this benefit, and it stays with us, not only till maut, till Jannat inshallah. And there, when we will meet Allah Rabbul Izzat, what enjoyment it will be. One youngster said, I can't just wait for that moment to meet Allah Ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, a youngster. And with this type of majalis, and in our country and everywhere, the whole world, here in South Africa also, mashallah, how many mashayikh. And this is really, relevantly, like something new for us. It wasn't here some time ago. Few people had connection with mashayikh, but now it is becoming arm. This is also a sign that Allah wants to pour down His special rahmat on the people. And with our young ulama, many of them, mashallah, they have excelled so much. How much of ulum and how much of taqwa they have got. Soon the time will come when, inshallah, we will get people like in the past we had. With those type of people of the taqwa which Maulana was speaking about, that ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala, inshallah, we hope it's going to come. In fact, our Maulana Zakaria, who's here from the UK, and there's one Mufti Yunus, he's from Germany, he's doing his iftar call here. So, while we are sitting together, so Maulana Zakaria said, I advised him, you must do the Takhassus fil Hadith also. He says, what do you say? So I gave it little thought, I said, according to me, what comes to my mind, he should go back to Germany, where the beginning work is still very much in need. And inshallah, soon, from Germany, ulama will go and they will do takhassus. They will do all that field. So at the beginning, it's still the ABC, which is greatly required, though mashallah, there is work carrying on. But the time will come when our youngsters will excel very, very greatly, inshallah. One point that comes to mind, that I wish to share, which we picked up now lately, learned now lately, is three niyats we should make whenever we go to any dini gathering. There's a bayan carrying on, there's a ijtima, like this Islahi Jalsa, where mashallah so many ulama spoke, and this morning, what beautiful advices were given this afternoon, and yesterday also. So when we go, make three intentions. The first intention is that I want to learn my deen. And to learn deen, just to learn, is a great, great ibadat. We can't go now much into the details, but just to learn deen is a great ibadah. So whenever we go to a bayan or to any gathering like this, make this niyat. One, just briefly, when we leave home with that niyat, you get the sawab of hajj already. And innumerable sawabs, in our sense we say unbelievable, but it's 100% we believe in it. That what great rewards Allah Ta'ala gives. The second niyat, make this niyat also, that I'm going to make amal on. They separate from just gaining knowledge, that I'm going to make amal on. And the third is that I will pass it on to others. Pass it on to your family at least. Pass it on to your friends. So easy we can do that. And in fact, then thought came today, most probably, that four things. And that is our madrasa's motto, sort of. Learn deen, practice deen, propagate deen, and make others do the same. To make others also, that they also learn deen, that they also practice on deen, and they also propagate deen. And all their thawab is going to come in your account. And if you encourage one person and he became a hafiz ali, whatever work he's going to do and his products, whatever work they're going to do and their products, all that is going to come into your account. May Allah give us sincerity, inshallah. Yesterday we spoke a little bit that we have to try and recognize our faults. We have to see our faults. One example comes to mind. We all listen to the adhan. We are not deaf, alhamdulillah. Maybe somebody is deaf, but we all listen to the adhan. Giving the adhan is a separate thing. There are many rules with regard to that. And Muhiyy al-Sunnah, Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi of Hardoi, was very particular. And Hazrat said that almost the whole world, adhans are not correct. They are not according to Sunnah. Now even that, though we not perhaps giving the adhan, even that, who of us are really concerned? The mutawalli, the imam. Sometimes the adhans are gone way out, but nobody is concerned about it. It's a fault, a big fault. Adhan in itself is a very great ibadah, shiar of Islam. It's a great flag post of Islam, very great. But compared to all the other ahkamat of deen, iman, sifat of iman, salat, all that, compared to that, it's not at that level. But in itself, it's a very great ibadah, and that is not correct. And so to say, that is the invitation to Islam, to salat. Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma, a complete da'wat of Islam. And that is not correct. But put that one side. Our listening is not correct. And to listen is easy. Ask ourselves, all of us, when adhan goes, how many of us respect the adhan? And there are such serious warnings if we don't respect the adhan. We don't respect the adhan. We just carrying on talking. If we are doing deeny work, the masala is, you are teaching a sabak, you are giving a bayan, you can carry on. Though better it is, till you stop that also, you listen to the adhan and give jawab. Ask ourselves, how many of us are doing that? And then the duas of adhan, all that also. So this is also a fault, but how many of us have recognized it, looked at it as a fault of mine? So that is, if we can get that to see our fault, that is where we are lacking very greatly. And even so much so that sometimes we'll tell somebody else that respect adhan, and here you start talking immediately yourself again. This also happens. So just may Allah bring, make that dua and make ourselves conscious to try and look into ourselves. Find our faults, inshallah. So in this ayat-e kareema, which is the beginning of the 13th supara, the words of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah has quoted here, after Yusuf alayhi salam passed such a great test, where he was tempted by Zulaikha, where everything was ready for him, for any man, whatever he wanted to do. What a woman, what status, what beauty, everything. And he passed 100%. Not one bit of inclination towards sin also. Not one bit. Not from the remotest corner also. And then what does he say? وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. I don't say my nafs is spark and my nafs is clean. I don't claim that at all. So from that also we can learn how much we have to, this nafs of ours. And then in front, just let's carry on, where Yusuf alayhi salam himself says, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءٍ. That this nafs is such, not amara bisu, this is all from our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Shaykh Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahimahullah, from his teaching. That not amara bisu, amara is to command, but ammara bisu. It's the superlative which continuously makes us do evil, tells us about doing evil, tells us to do evil, tells us to do evil, doesn't leave us. So much so, Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, whenever you get some bad thought, idea, to know whether it's from shaitan or whether it's from nafs, the difference is if the thought came once and then finished, that's from shaitan. Because shaitan is too busy, he has to make the whole world go astray. He has vowed for that. But your nafs is with you. And it will continuously tell you. So it's ammara. And I would say, Shaykh says so beautifully, bitsu, with evil. And barwazan bichu. Bichu is a scorpion. Like a scorpion poisons you. This nafs, it also poisons us. So this nafs is ammara bitsu. So yeah, let us come to understand one thing. For muzakara, for ourselves, we're revising our lesson. That we are made of two things. That inshallah we all know. Our body and our soul, ruh. These two things Allah has made. The body is made in the womb of the mother, and after about 4 months or so, then the ruh is sent into that body. Now life comes into that body. The real thing that gives life and the real passenger that is carrying onward the journey is the ruh. The body is only temporary. It is made there in the mother's womb and it's going to live in this world 60, 70 years, whatever it is meant to. So long it's going to live, then the ruh is going to carry on its journey. Now this whole thing that what we are talking about is about the ruh and our body. Our body is made from the material of this dunya. From the sand, water, what the parents ate, and from that it is made. So it inclines towards dunya all the time. Its love is for the dunya, the things of this dunya all the time. Ruh has come from Allah Ta'ala. Its inclination is towards Allah, towards the higher things, all the time. Now there is this battle all the time. Before we come to that, how many of us, myself included, first, it's a revision for us to improve ourselves. Are we conscious that I've got these two things with me? My ruh and my body. That my nafs, my desires that I've got. And Allah has declared that your nafs is your enemy. And Hazrat Ash'ar, so many that don't follow the dictates of your nafs. And which dictates of the nafs? Not all of them. If they are under control, for jais, halal things, as Maulana explained now also, no problem. But for, and Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali explained this so beautifully, مَرْغُوبَاتِ تَبَعِيَّةِ غَيْرْ شَرْعِيَّةِ. Your natural desires which you have, but against Shariat, which are haram desires. Like you want to eat doubtful food, or even perhaps sometimes haram also we get involved. Allah forgive us. What we are hearing and what is happening, very, very strange things. We are getting involved in so much haram. Now that's a desire. So that we have to control that. So one is our nafs, which is our enemy, which is an avowed and declared enemy. The other end, but that is an inside enemy, from inside. And the inside enemy is the worst enemy. Then we have another enemy, Shaitan. And he has also vowed he's going to lead the people astray. And he's making his full effort all the time. He doesn't rest at all. No sleep, no nothing. All the time he's just making effort to mislead people. So two enemies we have got, nafs and Shaitan. Now how many of us, myself first, are aware when we wake up in the morning, we are going to work, we are going on the streets, I'm going to the bank, I'll be passing so many people, woman, man, all, the teller, the hostess in the aeroplane, all, are we conscious that we have got these two enemies which want to destroy us? If a person has to know there is a snake, not in the yard, not in the house, how worried won't he be? And if he knows it's in the house, and if he knows it's in the bed, and if he knows it's under your pillow, how much won't we be worried? Will we ever go anywhere near there? We will make every effort to get the relevant departments and let them come and remove the snake or whatever. But these two enemies, what is one snake? What is 1,000 snakes? What are 1,000 dragons? What are 1,000... We are prey today of one mosquito doesn't let us sleep. One fly in namaz makes us like a dancing puppet in the namaz. And in the qabr, There will be what scorpions and what snakes. Allah protect us all. And this is a serious matter. Though we don't want to be desponding anyone, but the qabr's life, we have to think about it. The day of Qiyamah, we have to think about it. What is going to be like? And may Allah save everyone. Jahannam, Allahu Akbar. It's also like unbelief. We believe 100%, but it is so terrible. And on the other side, Jannah is so beautiful. So that is a real life. We have to keep that in mind. And here are these two enemies of ours, Nafs and Shaitan. They want to throw us out from this road. And the bigger devil of the two is our nafs. Shaitan himself, out of his pride, whatever jealousy, he didn't make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, he did not listen to the command of Allah. Who made him do all that? No other shaitan came, no bigger shaitan. It was his nafs that made him do that. And our nafs is with us. So what I want to put forward for myself, for all of us, be aware that we have got these two great, great, terrible enemies with us. And they are with us 24 hours. Nafs is with us all the time, 24 hours. We are sleeping, nafs is with us. We are awake, nafs is, and they are bent, totally bent, that they want to destroy us and take us into the displeasure of Allah. They want to take us into Jahannam. And that is the final place where we go finally, Jannat or Jahannam. So all of us, make this, bring this consciousness that I've got these two enemies with me. Then see this nafs, now all we have to do, as Maulana also said now, previously also it was said, da nafsak wa ta'al. Just control your nafs and come to, and then you are Allah. This dunya's life becomes Jannat here already. What will be the Jannat when we go? Before we leave and we see the Malaika of Jannat coming to take our arwah, Malakul Maut comes in that beautiful smiling way. What beautiful life in the qabr already. What beautiful you'll be just walking, strolling around on the day of Qiyamah. No real worry or anything. And then when you enter Jannat, Allahu Akbar. So it is this nafs that we have to control. And this nafs, just give you a few examples when it's not in control. For example, our dunya's nuksan also, when the nafs is not under. Deen is a complete way of life. It's not only for our deen and for akhirat. Deen is 100% for dunya also. If we get deen into our lives, and our main stumbling block is our nafs. That is keeping us away. So how the harms of this nafs? And inshallah, towards the end, we will just discuss that how to bring the nafs under control. Maulana already explained a few other little points, so inshallah, practical points. So the first thing is this nafs here, when it's not in control, see if you are a sugar patient, you're a diabetic. How many, when sweet things come, nafs is not under control. You eat the sugar, you know you're going to suffer later. But you eat the sugar, you enjoy it. Because all this is because your nafs is not under control. If your nafs, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, we were sitting one time on a Dastarkhan. Hazrat says, don't you see that I love these sweet things? And they are all there. But don't you see I don't touch one of them also? This is when nafs is under control. Then you don't touch any of these things. You are high blood patient. Your pressure is very high. But now all that wonderful food stuff came, which has got salt and all those things. A sugar patient, the mangoes come, and the watermelon comes, and the grapes come, and all are saying very sweet. And you can see from their faces how they enjoy it. But if your nafs is not under control, you're going to eat. So it will harm you so much. One person long ago, he was a sugar patient, but he just on one day couldn't control himself, and he drank so much of Pepsi Cola, after that he died. Maut is written on his side. But the sabab at that time became this cold ring of his. Similarly, this nafs of us. One brother told me of a few wrong things which we are commonly involved in. One thing he says is going for Umrah. Very good to go for Umrah, everyone says, but the whole family goes. 200,000-300,000 rand is spent on that Umrah. Yeah, we are owing so many people money. We don't pay them their money. And we are just going for Umrah. We don't worry anything. Our monetary matters have gone haywire. Generally, our financial matters are gone haywire. And we don't pay anyone. We are just going, what is that? There is nafs. Nafs is taking you. Just like a holiday today. Hey, we're just going for a holiday. And many, many of our great ulama, they say this has just become a fashion, just to go for Umrah. We're having, for example, a wedding. Then you really can't afford it. You'll take a loan on interest also. But to have that wonderful, what you think is a wonderful wedding, and anything which is against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there can be nothing more worse than that. What is this? It's your nafs again. If the nafs was under control, and we made the family also, we were concerned. Again, when we get married, a person just lives it up with his wife. First of all, honeymoon, which is also totally, that's again the nafs, when it's out of control. Today we just keep the honeymoon name something else. Just going away for a few days, just going for a holiday. Changing the name doesn't change the reality. If we have, we put black vinegar in a bottle, in a Coca-Cola bottle, Pepsi-Cola bottle, the name won't change that vinegar, it's going to be vinegar. So the same thing here also. Now we follow our nafs, and just a little bit on this, we go to a hotel, a resort, wherever, now it's overseas, no more local also. And we go there, and we spend our time there, that people have told, it hit me very hard the first time I heard this. They said that the worst sins take place in these hotels and this resort. If for absolute necessity you have to spend your time there, you spend your time there, you are on travel, etc., you have to spend your time, but take it not with a pinch of salt, but take it with a bag of salt. That I've, not just happiness and enjoyment that I'm here. So the worst sins take place there. And you consummate your marriage in that place. Where all the evils and rubbish was taking place. Whereas if you used your parents' bedroom for the first night, if you did not have your own homestead, your own bedroom, where tilawat is taking place, where zikr is taking place. Our mihman khana here, when we built it, Haji Bhai Padia Marhum, it was visiting us. Haji Bhai, we slept the night, the next morning he asked me, who slept in this room? It was just newly built, I couldn't recall anything. I asked why, he said there was so much of anwarat in here, that the whole night, according to my assessment, Haji Bhai didn't sleep, he was busy with his ibadah and du'as for the ummah. So when you're in that environment and you start your wedding, where Quran tilawah, zikrullah, all this takes place, but because our nafs is not under control, we just don't worry about this. We have to buy a car, you need a car, no problem. But what kind of a car, how much are you going to spend? Yeah, again, it is your nafs that work, that it causes havoc in a person. So the nafs, if we can understand what a terrible enemy. And at least for a starting point for me, for all of us, let us we become conscious that I've got this nafs with me. And it's leading me to wrong. And I have to now control this nafs. I have to know that it is there. We're just living an oblivious life, that we're just carrying on anyway, and we're not worried about the nafs, we are not worried about shaitan. And how many people have been destroyed by nafs and by shaitan? Not only ordinary people, not only ulama, awliya also. And how they work, they won't leave us. Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi, his story is famous. On his deathbed, he's saying, not yet, not yet. And then when his sons ask him, Abba, it's your mort, you're passing away, you're saying, not yet, not yet. He says, Shaitan is telling me, Ahmad, you saved yourself from me. I say, not yet till my last moment. So this nafs and shaitan won't leave us. They vow they're going to take us on the wrong road. And we're not concerned about it. If we're doing a simple business deal, or even a small matter, and we have little bit doubt that this person here is not going to be fair in his dealings, you take all your precautions. But here, with our sada, our trade of Jannat or Jahannam, and we have got these two terrible enemies, and we are not concerned. So what is the work of the khanqa, of becoming ba'at, of the tasawwuf? It is, at the beginning stage, we become aware that I've got this terrible two enemies with me, nafs and shaitan. And I have to be on my guard. If not, we will become ba'at also, but we will carry on our way. And we become ba'at just for barakat. And we know, thousands of our people who become bay'at, just become bay'at and after that don't do it. The first thing of becoming bay'at is then you listen to the Shaykh. And you, what the Shaykh tells you then, that you follow in that. Most of us, take a survey with ourselves. Check ourselves, how many of us are doing the zikr we have been prescribed? Me, myself, I have to ask. How many of us fulfill that zikr? Just the basic zikr. Other things are also there. In fact, basic zikr is still far. Our five times salat. How many of us are pardoned with our five? There must be plenty in a gathering like this, inshallah. Now, all are regular with five times salat. Then, have we, since we became bay'at, since we have become conscious, and this again, nafs and shaitan plays havoc with us in our namaz also. How much of us are regular and get takbir-e-ula, or at least, takbir-e-ula, more than that, the first stuff. And then how much of us have become conscious that my namaz quality is still very far. I'll say, my namaz is very, very poor, but what am I doing to improve it? Am I really conscious of it? If I'm a diabetic, am I just going to sit with it? Will I go to doctor? Anything, I've got a pain here in my back, in my knee or something, we're going to have it checked. What's the problem? How many of us seriously take that to mind? That I have to correct this. So this is that what we have to become conscious. Firstly, if we can think, just think about the azan. Think about our wudu. How much of talking takes place. How much of water is being wasted. Inshallah, many of us use miswak. How many of us, the water is running while we are making miswak. And what kind of a wudu? What will be the quality of the namaz? So these basic things, we are still, in fact today, not only today, before also today, much more with the cell phone, mobile, the WhatsApp. Istihza of deen, making a joke about any matter of deen. Ulama have written it's so dangerous, so dangerous, so dangerous, a person can perhaps go out of the fold of Islam also, and we don't know it also. And the jokes today people make about the beard, for example. Make about the burqa, ninja this or ninja that or that. And we also, it comes on our phone and we send it to somebody else. We are part and parcel of this. When that comedian's story was at that conference in Joburg, and what he said, how many, they also, you smile at that, what he said. And your iman is in a great jeopardy. And then you talk about it also. Your iman is in great jeopardy. And today, many, many jokes. I usually say that if you're a jokey person and you like jokes, there are more than enough things you can make jokes about. To make joke about any part of deen, how many about the differences in the ulama? People make a joke out of it. What this ulama, what they are, and without the ulama, our connection with deen is cut. Our connection with Allah is cut if they are under ulama. And because they sort of a stumbling block for our nafs again. To pass our life as dunya, how many of us in the house with the family, we make jokes about them, that this maulana is like that, that maulana is like that, sometimes backbiting, sometimes joking about them, and we're just getting on, we're not conscious of the wrong we are doing. We have to first of all become that conscious, and then concerned about my qabr, how my maut is going to come, Allah have mercy upon us. How my qabr's life is going to go, how the day of qiyamah will be, and full sirat we have to cross it up, and what that will be. And this is a great worry it has to be for me, for all of us, really, that what is going to happen there. So this is when we become conscious of these things, to look into ourselves, see our faults, and fortunate is that person, and it's only by the fazl of Allah that the veil opens and you start seeing your own faults. For that make dua, that Ya Allah, show me my own faults. We go to a share, the common tarteeb of Islah nowadays is a common bayan. And in that bayan, many brothers come and they say, we got our answers. What we wanted to know, we got our answers. So in that bayan, listen, that what is applicable to me. Just like in the morning, but try and make this dua, that Ya Allah, whichever of your commands are directed to me, that I have to do this five times namaz, I must speak the truth. Again, on the truth one point, so easily we speak lies. And we don't regard it as a lie. Jokes we make, and they are full of lies. And a lie is a gunai kabira.
One time when our Hazrat was here, he was at our Haji Suleiman Kaka's house, he was sleeping, he was leaving the next day to go to the next place. So I was seeing them off, and I made some joke with Mirza, Hazrat's male Khadim. Then all of us had a little laugh about it. Then Hazrat told me, it's a joke, but you spoke a lie. What about that lie? That lie is a gunai kabira. And we normally do it and we don't make toba also. How many lies we have spoken? How many other wrong things? But we're not conscious. And I'm happy because of my topi, amama, beard, kurta. I'm a pious person. I'm a maulana. I'm a mufti sahab. I'm this. I'm that. So I'm a musalli. I'm that. So we are happy just because of our titles and our outward appearance. But when mort will come, وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, what is in the heart will be taken out. And by Allah Ta'ala, who knows everything of ours, Allah, we will be presented and Allah will check us on all those points. So this is the starting point. Going further, the ma'rifat of Allah and then the muhabbat of Allah. When we get that, really we are in Jannat in this world. Maana ke meer gulshan jannat to door hai. لیکن عارف ہے کہ خالق جنت کو دل میں لیے ہوئے. We accept that jannat is still very far, the enjoyments of jannat. But a person who is an arif of Allah, which then develops into the love of Allah, here in this world now, he's got the creator of jannat in his heart. And if you got the creator of jannat, creator of dunya, beautiful scenery in this world. What waterfalls, sunrise, sunset, mountains, what beautiful flowers, what beautiful roses, what beauty Allah has kept. And this is nothing compared to Jannat. So when a person will get the creator of Jannat, and Jannat also, that Jannat which Allah has made for the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam and the other great people, Allah has put a seal on it, the Malaika also don't know what is in that Jannat. All the other jannat Allah has explained in the Quran Sharif, in the Hadith Sharif. And what is that jannat also? People throw, they put some beautiful garden pictures, a pool of water or a stream of water, like a jannat. But nobody can ever imagine what jannat is. And if we get there and we stay there forever, what a beautiful place. For that, let us for the start realize, each one of us, nobody, it comes kullukum khata'un, all of you are sinners, we are told. So nobody is free from that, that our faults start falling on ourselves. We will be saved of many other wrongs with that. We realize we got nafs and we have got shaitan as our enemy. Worst enemy is our nafs. When both have vowed that they are not going to allow us to get the pleasure of Allah. They are not going to let us die on iman. They have vowed that. And we are not worried about it. Our shops, little bit of protest and rioters, we make sure we go there, we sleep in the shop. We want to protect the shop. And our iman and our jannat and getting saved from jahannam, how much are we serious about that? That is the starting point. If we can become conscious of that, Allah make it that I become conscious. I'm just talking, but it's not really with me. It's not hitting me still. It has to hit us all. And we have to become conscious. And great, great change will come about very easily. And what Maulana spoke about, mashallah, how to control the nafs, all that will become also very easy. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Let us all make dua. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Oh Allah, forgive our ghaflat till now. Oh Allah, our two terrible enemies, our nafs and our shaitan. And we are not regarding them as our enemies, oh Allah. Oh Allah, we are seeing the faults, we are spying for the faults of other people, but we are not concerned about our own faults. Oh Allah, forgive us, open our blind eyes, the eyes of our head open them also, the eyes of our heart open them, oh Allah. Let us see our faults and give us that concern to correct ourselves, oh Allah. Give us that concern, O Allah, that I have to control my nafs. I have to bring it under control. O Allah, and you have given us the system of this beautiful silsila and chain of islahi nafs and tazkiyah, which we call the khanqa and the mashayikh. oh Allah, let us become aware of this great, great department of deen, and let us apply ourselves fully and bring this right way, this beautiful, correct way of life within us, O Allah. O Allah, forgive us for all our sins. O Allah, you are this kind being that you haven't left us to be destroyed. You have left the doors of, you have made the doors of Tawbah. You have opened them and you have ordered us, commanded us to make Tawbah. O Allah, accept our Tawbah. O Allah, accept our Tawbah. O Allah, we promise to you that now we are going to be conscious of ourselves, what wrongs we are involved in, and we are going to be conscious of our enemies, our nafs and shaitan. And O Allah, we are going to beat them, and we are going to make it to your pleasure, O Allah, in this dunya also, and at the time of mort also, that we come happily to you, radiyatan marziya, O Allah, out of your mercy and kindness. And you are most loving, you are most kind, you are most forgiving. O Allah, grant us this. We all have come with a sincere intention to benefit, O Allah. O Allah, let not one of us go from here we're deprived of any of this, O Allah. You are most too kind, you don't deprive. Bless us with all this, O my Allah. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.